Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Well, we'll continue to use the 2022 link. We're updating our website, so I haven't been able to get the programmers to change the code, so I believe the other one still works. 2022 half off is the promo code, 2022-HALFOFF, and you insert that in the promo code section when you sign into VRTrader.com and pick one of our newsletters. And while I'm at it, I do want to make that disclaimer regarding that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. VRTrader.com is an educational enterprise.
Mark, the U.S. GDP was up in the last quarter. People surprised by positive numbers. But then all these government officials reacting to GDP numbers, they were shocked the last time it was up. And I think these are the same people who said, oh, this inflation thing, it's just temporary. The government guys don't know much, do they?
Right, but I also don't trust numbers that the government puts out as well. You know, the inflation numbers don't include energy or food, for example. So, you know, how can you evaluate inflation if you don't include two things that have been rising the fastest and comprise so much of individuals' budgets? So when it comes to government reports, every time I come out, they come out, I sort of laugh at them. As you know, they tend to be revised anyway. A lot of it could be political, and the way they omit or insert various details, it's really over the top. But, you know, I guess if the market follows them and believes them, and it's just the blind following the blind here at a certain level. But, you know, the numbers actually have been a little bit better. And, you know, again, they could be untrue. You know, they could be falsified a bit just to make things look better. But the truth is, you know, some of the numbers, the economy seems to be better, the employment is better, you know, and everybody's screaming, oh, the Fed, Federal Reserve, you know, they're not going to change their course unless they get employment down. And as long as employment is strong, they have to try to break the back of employment and continue to raise rates or do other some destructive stuff like reduce money supply and on and on. So it's just a wild, crazy game. You know, I've been doing this for so many years, I just have to laugh at it. It's, you know, ultimately all you can do is, you know, take a position of what your, you know, beliefs are in terms of market trend. And how do you do that? You know, you'd either do fundamental analysis or you just take a, you know, long-term perspective and realize that over the last 100 or so years, no matter how bad the sell-off, we tend to come back if you buy the indexes. Or you do technical analysis and cyclical analysis, which I tend to be fond of with VR, my volume reversal indicator, but I'm also very partial to cyclical indicators. So we've talked about that a lot on the show as well.
The U.S. dollar, did it peak out a short while ago, and is it on the way down?
Still is. You know, it's dollar, you know, and particularly now with all the pressure to get rid of the dollar, you know, to reduce its importance in the world. You know, it just seems like, you know, the dollar could ultimately go the way of the dodo, you know, which is another currency that, you know, would be last to go, but a lot of pressure that commodities are bought and sold. The Saudis are behind it now. We know Russia is behind it. China certainly would like to get rid of the dollar. in the chart show, you know, the big top here, you know, that we had in the dollar back in September, and it's sort of flirting with its lows down here a little bit. You know, it looks and has looked oversold. At some point, I guess we'll get some type of technical rally. I would think that World War III apparently is already underway in Europe with tanks coming in from the U.S. and Germany, I hear, might be sending some tanks over. So maybe, you know, in times of stress, people reach out to the last horse in the glue factory, I guess, is the expression, the U.S. dollar. And, you know, maybe it'll have a rally if, you know, activity, you know, violence continues and the military action gets stronger, particularly if the nuclear card is pulled, you know, or threatened again. So, you know, I guess that could affect the dollar, and it could really take off at some point on a rally. But at the moment, it still seems to be in a downtrend.
What do you think the Fed's going to do with interest rates? Hike it one more time and then stay put for a while? I mean, it's unprecedented to have so many hikes over just one year.
Well, it's a lot of political pressure, you know. I mean, it's like the street is talking it up, you know, we'll slow the rates down, freeze it, reverse course. Can't you see, Jay Powell, that inflation has come down and, you know, you don't have to do what you need to do anymore. That's Wall Street talking because they're trying to get stocks up. And, you know, and then there's the political side of it. You know, I don't know when he's up for nomination again, but now that the U.S. House of Representatives controlled by the Republicans, you know, and even some Democrats have complained, you know, they may want to kick Powell out. And maybe it is, maybe it's in the process of being kicked out. And that's why maybe he's slowing down on the interest rate side so he can keep his job. I mean, again, that's the political aspects and economic aspects to this. And if they replace him and they put somebody in who's more dovish, you know, the stock market will really explode to the upside. So, you know, it's just a manipulative game. I mean, rates are zero for 10 years and suddenly they raise him, 3-4 points in a few months. And, you know, it's, slam on the brakes, slam on the the accelerator. It reminds me of the Alan Greenspan effect from decades ago. It's just inconsistency, poor analysis. You know, I've been writing for years. You know, a lot of my thinking is based on the Creature from Jekyll Island book that came out decades ago, 600 pages of a case of why we should be abolishing the Federal Reserve. But at the same time, we need to abolish Congress here in the U.S. I mean, they're spending money like crazy, whether it's Democrat or Republican. So, you know, inflation is caused by spending money you don't have. We have trillions in debt. The Fed is supposedly now trying to control a situation which they really weren't handling for 10 years anyway. So you got two inept government-related institutions, even though the Fed's a private corporation, which very few people really know. But you know, the blind leading the blind again. I used that expression a few moments ago in a different matter. I mean, it's really crazy what's going on. I mean, it seems like the only way out is to keep printing money. And now they're talking about a digitized dollar. And you've got Klaus Schwab in Europe with his World Economic Forum and Davos trying to completely reverse the whole system, turn it socialistic and take all our assets and tell you that you should be happy when you own nothing. So, I mean, it's just the mismanagement of government spending, mismanagement of the central banks. I mean, it's all, we're, you know, even Ben Bernanke, I said this probably 10 times already on this interview. He was interviewed in 2008 or 9 saying something to the effect, referring to the Great Depression. He said something to the effect, yes, we caused it. It was our fault. Because at that time, supposedly I don't have the details, but apparently they raised rates right at the beginning of the Great Depression at the worst possible time. So the track record of those in charge is just abysmal. I mean, it's really crazy stuff. So what do we do as investors? I mean, you know, we can't control all of this stuff unless we have no voting power to shut these institutions down. So we just have to trade the markets, you know, get out when they're coming down or go short. Or just play, you know, strong sectors or short the whole market or, you know, buy things that are still moving because there's always some bull market somewhere. We saw energy, you know, really take off and then now corrected. And we saw, you know, gold moving recently. And, you know, there's always something, you know, solar stocks moving at some point. You know, this, you know, there's always a, you know, a place that you can try to put money. And now with the risk-free money, you know, buying U.S. Treasury bills, you know, we can get, you know, 3-4%, or depends on the expiration and timing, you know, risk-free. You know, then you say, why the hell do I have to do anything? I mean, just put it away and don't take any risk for a year and see how things settle down. But it's we're in a crazy time here. I mean, we could talk a lot about some of the short-term stuff, but, you know, where 2023, 24 are going to go, I think depends a lot on Europe. I mean, I watch TV during the day, and they're talking about Tesla earnings and Facebook and Instagram reinstating Donald Trump on the chat rooms, and what the Fed's going to do, and very little discussion about what's going on in Europe. I mean, this is huge. I mean, this is World War III. I mean, it's already started on a limited scale, but it already is. So, you know, Germany's going to send tanks in, and U.S. sending tanks in. I mean, this could really get out of hand. I mean, that could be a nuclear event, and I don't think Putin's giving up so easily. And I keep saying, you know, we're all talking about all these other things. We're not talking about the real serious thing that's now underway. And if that's not controlled, I mean, everything we're doing can go up in smoke, literally. So it's really wild this year trying to predict, you know, what's going to happen. Of course, I have, you know, my other thoughts as well about what they should do and not do. And then we have all kinds of risks on the geocosmic, geopolitical level. You know, what's going to happen with China, Taiwan, you know, what's happening with Iran and Israel, you know, what's happening with North Korea, and they're shooting stuff off again. And then, you know, we just had an asteroid, you know, it was about just off, I don't know what the distance is, like 3,500 miles out in space over South America, that just missed us today or yesterday. Really close call on an asteroid. It was all over the space website, so it passed, but it got really close. It wasn't that big, though. I think it was the size of a couple automobiles or something. You know, it wasn't like, you know, the cataclysmic asteroid that would, you know, break and destroy civilization the way that we had with the dinosaurs, where that giant one came into the Yucatan millions of years ago. But it did come by. Actually, on my website, I post a list of all the close asteroids that are out there. You know, people sort of laugh, and then suddenly there's an article yesterday. There's one that's really close to the Earth. Ooh, I think we missed it. We didn't catch this one, but it's not going to hit us, so we're okay. But, you know, if you were in South America and this thing came down in your backyard, I think you wouldn't be too happy. So there's a lot of, you know, crazy things going on right now. It's you know, we have a whole list of stuff we talk about and the website, what could be happening or could happen this year. So just sign up and you'll see them.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's happening with crude and gasoline? Do you think gasoline prices this summer will surpass the outrageous prices that we paid last year? In Vancouver, for example, we had $2.67 a liter. That's $10.68 a Canadian gallon.
I don't think it's going to take off that, you know, that fast. I'm bullish on oil, and I'm in, you know, the one of the ETFs, XLE, which is an index here in the U.S. that tracks all the big oil companies. I mean, like Chevron, the big oil company, went to new highs today. And part of it was related to the fact they made so much money, and they're talking about buying back their stock. Of course, you know, Biden and all the idiots in that political sphere, you know, blame the oil companies for all the problems, and it really was the government itself by restricting production. But anyway, they managed to make a lot of money, and the XLE index is virtually at new highs. Chevron is into new highs, so the oil stocks are still doing well. Oil seems to be trying to recover now a little bit. And, you know, my personal prejudice is that there's still a shortage of production around the world. The politics are against it. You got Biden against it. You got Klaus Schwab against it. I mean, it's just madhouse around the world. So I can't help but see, you know, the prices overall going higher. And I'm still a bull on energy because we're not meeting our demands. And all the EV, electric vehicle freaks out there, they're starting to complain now. Oh, there's no place to charge your vehicle. And even if you find a place, you can't plug in. You got to wait in line forever, and then slow getting your car charged. And then, do we have enough energy to really supply enough of these EV outlets? And then, who can afford to buy the EV vehicles? And I mean, that's all other discussion. So, crude oil and energy. I still think if you buy a car, buy something that operates, hybrid. We can plug in and get gas. I mean, if we could have fission fusion cars or solar powered cars as a third alternative, that would be even better, but we don't seem to have that technology.
There is technology that can run a car on compressed air, but there's no money to be made from compressed air.
About the hydrogen cars, I hear they've been trying to push those for a while.
Hydrogen makes things brittle. They haven't got that problem solved yet.
Right. So there's a lot of talk about that as an alternative as well. We'd have to refer to that fusion motor that we saw in Back to the Future, right? You can stick a banana in, and that becomes your fuel.
Well, technically, there's no reason why we can't do that. You can make a battery out of a potato.
Right.
Anything happening with marijuana?
Yeah, not much. I mean, I keep watching the stocks. Very cheap. Tilray, TLLY, which is a Canadian company, came out with an announcement about 10 days ago that we can't make any money in cannabis. So we're going to, at least for now, so all these multi-million square foot facilities we have, we're going to start growing tomatoes and other vegetables and stuff. And I thought that was a bullish event because, farming and food shortages and having all the ability to produce this food, people still buy that. There's still a market for that. I mean, why not make the turn the company into a produce company? And there is demand for this. Stock popped a little bit and came back down again. They're all waiting for some type of legislation in the U.S. that's suddenly going to open up the whole, business world for them. I mean, but there's a whole world out there besides the U.S. and even the CBD companies, which were doing well, unrelated to Canadian stocks or the demand for cannabis, seemed to have sold off as well. It seems like, the glitter, disappeared for some reason, or these stocks were just so overpriced and the company spent so much money or lost so much money promoting it that their stocks collapsed. So the expression, each dog has its day. So, I don't think cannabis is going away. The question is, they're cheap enough that they're probably worth a spec, just to hold them, hope that they turn around at some point. But there's no clear sign of the bottom unless you want to buy a food tomato company.
The problem with legal marijuana is it's not as good as the illegal stuff, and it's much more expensive.
Right. That's the other problem.
Yeah,
too.
The competition.
So, anyway, the hot area now is really still energy, at least short term. There are some gold, gold seems to be moving a little bit, as long as the dollar is low and, seems to be going lower, or at least at the moment. And listen, gold could go up even despite the dollar rally. We've seen that happen as well. But, a lot of talk about digitizing the currency, and overnight your bank account turns into some digital currency, which they are testing. Makes people nervous that they want to have physical assets. People don't like to discuss it, but as old as this organization, and I keep plugging them, but I've known them for 20 years, GATA.org, GATA.org. Bill Murphy runs that. They have 20 years of documentation, regarding anecdotal and solid evidence about the manipulation in the gold market. We don't even know all the gold is at Fort Knox that supposedly is there. And the banks lease gold out, and the futures markets, COMEX plays with the futures contracts, and there have been legal cases, some of which have been successful, where they prove that the markets are being manipulated. So it's a crazy market with the gold and silver, But, you know, it's been around for 5,000 years or 10, probably even longer than that. But I'm just saying, you know, holding it and having some in uncertain times is not a bad idea. And on a technical basis, if you just look at the charts, we've mentioned this before, if we ever clear that 2060, 2070 level, you know, priced in U.S. dollars, then that would be a breakout of a double top formation. And that would say you're probably headed to 23 to 2500 and maybe even to 3000, you know, down the road. So just have to sort of play the charts. At the moment, the stocks seem to be trending up. So that's another area to be looking at. And, you know, we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, if you just don't want to take any risk at all, just buy some treasury bills and sit it out.
Canadians have already experienced what happens if you use digital currency and the disaster that can ensue. Everybody who was a Rogers customer for 2 or 3 days couldn't use their cell phone. So many of us have all of our financial information there. All the terminals that take your debit card were down that used Rogers for 3 days. A third of Canadians who have cell phones or use any kind of Rogers product had no access to their financial products. They couldn't buy, they couldn't sell, they couldn't buy gas, they couldn't buy food, they couldn't pay their rent. What happens if somebody hacks our digital money supply? No one's talked about that.
You're right. There's no discussion about that. Could be hacked, and they'll say, oh, the Russians did it, or the somebody in Ukraine did it. I mean, that's the problem. And there's a war against cash. The government has been after cash all the time. And if you have, you know, bank accounts and you go in and try to withdraw or deposit cash, they have to supposedly report you to the authorities. So it's basically a control of our freedoms, you know, taking our ability to use cash or instituting a digital currency, just the government exercising its muscles, trying to control more and more of our lives as they did under the COVID situation. So we should be against it. I mean, we should fight it tooth and nail, just like here in the U.S. that they approved that legislation to get 80,000 Internal Revenue Service agents armed and out there to collect money on behalf of the government. I mean, this is just a threat on our freedoms. And, you know, we have to fight against this stuff. The digital thing is not the answer. It doesn't provide anything other than the government's ability to monitor what you're doing. And, whether we can be successful fighting it or not. But that said, there's still cryptocurrencies out there, and they were created to bypass the government, to get out of the system, to get out of the digital control, out of the supervision control of the government. And that's why, you know, Bitcoin took off and the other whole crypto universe came into existence. It's basic understanding that currencies don't last. They depreciate in value. Many ultimately just go to zero over time. And you got to be in some other vehicle. Now, whether you want to be in real estate or gold or a crypto, you have to make that decision, or all the above. But speaking of crypto, I mean, in the last week or so, Bitcoin has come back a little bit. So it's sort of interesting. And I think the main reason for that is that even the Securities and Exchange Commission, was it Gary Gensler? He's another joke altogether. But he's trying to control cryptos. But he admitted that Bitcoin was a commodity, and they can't regulate that. So meanwhile, Bitcoin rallied from 15,000 to about 22,000, and I still believe 2-3 years it could be at substantially higher levels, particularly if the regulators aren't going to touch it, and it has the stability of being around all these years. And you know, so many people. I was listening to a show on Fox News last night, and I think Mike Pompeo, the former U.S. Secretary of State, I believe he said that he took some compensation in Bitcoin, and I don't know under what circumstance or what situation, but I believe I heard that in the interview. So, I mean, it's still a medium of exchange around the world, and some people are still using it, and so I wouldn't forget about Bitcoin so fast.
Well, when Richard Branson said he'd accept Bitcoin for his trips into outer space, Bitcoin was worth about $300. So even at its lowest point at 16,581 last year, I think he still made some money on those early bookings.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yep. And I know Elon Musk was using it for a while. I don't know if he still is or not. So, and speaking of Musk, you know, Tesla took off the last few days and apparently they sold at record sales of their cars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when things are the worst or you think it's not going anywhere, they fool you. You know, like Tesla is still the leading name and, you know, that giant gigafactory they built up near Reno, Nevada is a sight to be seen from what I've heard. You know, you're dealing with the Edison of our time. I wouldn't give up on Tesla so fast. He may merge SpaceX into it or some of the other various companies that he's developed. You know, I'm a big still believer in Elon and what he's doing, and the Tesla is still a great car.
Mark, always fun talking with you.
My pleasure, Jim. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.